Okay, good morning or good afternoon, everybody. This is Jackie Gartman. This is Coach the Coach Practicum 4. This is our last class together, and I am with the October cohort, Group D, and it is July 11th. I was looking at October 2016. So welcome, everybody, to class. I thought we'd just maybe do something a little different, maybe just go around the room. We haven't been together in a couple of weeks, and just maybe check in. If you could just maybe just give me one word that describes, you know, where you are today, right in this moment, how you're feeling. Just so I can hear from everybody. So why don't we start with Linda.
Curious.
Curious. I love that word. Okay. How about Nikki? What word do we describe today?
Tense.
Tense?
Tense, yes.
Okay. All right. And how about Laurel?
My word is sick.
Sick. Like physically sick?
Yeah, but getting better.
Oh. Okay. So how does sick make you feel?
Kind of, is that a word?
Well,
that's my word.
That's your word, okay.
Yeah, more of a sound, really.
Okay. All right. How about Tiffany?
Cold.
Cold. Physically
yeah.
Cold?
Well, it's been in the 90s, and today I think it's only like up to 65 right now, so I'm freezing.
Ooh, okay. We're getting a lot of physical sensations here. All right. How about Rachel?
Sad.
Sad?
A little sad, yeah, just about the class ending.
Yeah, okay. All right, and Kathy?
I think I'm distracted.
Distracted.
Distracted, yeah.
Okay. All right, and Meg?
Curious?
Curious. Okay, cool. And Kristen?
Recovering from being sick, so recovering.
Oh. Okay. Recovering from being sick. Okay, so that's kind of a circumstance. How are you feeling?
I'm kind of feeling like that. That's why I thought, well, I have a lot of other stuff going on too, so I'm...
A little low energy?
Pardon?
A little low energy?
Yeah, low energy, a little low energy, yeah. But how am I, you mean you want a word for... For how that feels to be in low energy?
No, I wanted a word for how it feels to be recovering from being sick.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel relieved.
Relieved. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. Well, how am I feel? I love to. I have not checked in with myself. I'm feeling a sensation of like relax with. This low-level adrenaline running through it, probably because I'm teaching. So, but feeling pretty relaxed today. So, all right, you guys. So, thank you for checking in. I love to hear from all of you. Before we jump into coaching today, do you guys have any questions or comments or experiences that you want to share? Or anything that's come up for you since we've met last? No? Okay. Well, having said that, we can open up questions at the end. So we can jump right into some coaching today. So... Two of you guys have volunteered to coach, Kristen and Meg. So either one of you want to jump in and be the first?
Sure, I will.
Is this Meg?
This is Meg. Yes.
Okay. Awesome. All right. And so I had Lori. Are you still willing? Is Lori here?
Yeah, I'm willing.
Oh, Laurel. Is it Laurel? Okay.
Either one.
Okay, either one. All right, great. Yeah. So you still willing to be coached today?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. Okay, so I want you, all the observers, Nikki and Linda and Kristen and Kathy and Rachel, to really write copious notes, because I'd love to check in with a couple of you at the end of Meg's coaching session and give Meg some very specific feedback. And I'd love to also hear from you about, you know, since this is the Art of Coaching, maybe what you would have done differently. But this is a really great opportunity for you guys to really practice that framework for coaching, really starting to identify circumstances, thoughts, feelings, and actions. So as you go along and you're listening to Laurel share, start categorizing what you're hearing. Is what you're hearing a circumstance, a fact? Is it a thought? Is it a feeling or emotion? Or is it a behavior or an action? Okay, so this is a great opportunity to practice that. All right, so Meg, as we've done before, how would you like me to be with you? Would you like me to kind of jump in, be your trusted advisor? Would you like me to hold, you know, just go for it and kind of hold my feedback until the end?
Just jump in, I think. That's fine with me.
Jump in?
Yes, please. I want it to be like a learning experience so that it'll be more helpful for me if I learn as we go.
Okay, and feel free if you feel like you need my help to stop. I may let the reins loose a little bit because sometimes it's helpful for you guys to kind of maybe meander a little bit. But if you go too far off the rails, I'll certainly jump in. Is there anything that you want to work on in particular, any particular skill or tool or way of being?
Not necessarily. I know what my strengths are, but that doesn't, I don't really want to, you know, necessarily work on those because obviously they're my strengths. I was looking forward to maybe just Laurel just sharing something that's going on with her so we could kind of, you know, like you mentioned one time before, a client might just have a problem and you never know going into it what it might be. So I thought that would be good experience.
Okay. Awesome. So you just want to be open to whatever unfolds.
Sure. Yes.
Okay. Awesome. So you can begin whenever you are ready.
All right. Hi, Laurel. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So what are you working on in your life right now?
What am I working on in my life?
Well, what's not working in your life right now?
Okay. What is not working in my life? Boy, there's a couple of biggies here that are like themes that sort of come back. So I'll just pick one of them. I had this situation, so I'll tell you a story first. I had a situation, my family got family pictures on vacation, and when we got them back, I found myself being really harsh with myself about how I look. And what's interesting is I know, like, the thoughts that are under that are pretty painful, and I feel like they're kind of left over from another. Oh, this sounds so strange, but it's like I feel like they're kind of an infection from a past relationship that is now like thoroughly in my head, and it's so hard for me to get rid of. And I get frustrated because those thoughts now pop up like every time I see a picture of myself. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Okay, so why do you think you're clinging to that?
I'm not clinging to it. I just can't get rid of it. Like, it doesn't
why do you
feel like
it's resurfacing?
That's what I don't know. It's like I just see an image of myself and the things that he said about me just repeat in my head. And I go, okay, there they are again. And I know they're not true, but there they are again. And they're just really painful. So, like, here I am again, same place. I can see them happening, but I can't, it's like I can't stop them yet.
But you know that they're not true, correct? So you know that it's a thought that you're having. So let's maybe do the work on it. And can you make a sentence out of how you feel about when it happens?
Like the thought that underlying it, the underlying thought is something like, I am ugly. Or
okay.
I'm not aging well. Or I have a double chin. I mean, there's like so many I could.
But, okay, so let's just go with the first one because it's simple. I am ugly. Is that really true? Do you really believe that?
No.
Okay.
And yet it comes up. I mean, so it's like, I guess I'm conflicted. It's like an echo from the past. It's like, I can hear him. I can hear the things that he said to me when he ended our relationship. And it's like, they all just sort of like spiral and tornado. And then that's the thought that I end up with. It's like, God, I am ugly. And it's horrible. It's awful. And then there's another part of me that goes, God, that is so not true. Like, that comes from him. That's his junk.
Okay, let me jump in here just for a second,
please.
Meg.
Please, please.
What? You're doing great. You're doing great. I just want to just give you a little feedback along the way.
Okay.
So you're doing the thought work on I'm ugly. And when you asked her, is that true, what happened? Do you notice what happened?
She said no, but then she starts to justify it.
Well, she starts kind of explaining, you know,
right.
Why and how she's hearing his voice and all the things that he has said to her, right? So you want to make
right.
sure that you keep this structure of the work very tight so that she doesn't kind of go off into her story about, you know, the boyfriend and what he used to tell her and that sort of thing. So,
right.
So when she starts to do that, you're going to need to say just a yes or no.
Okay.
Okay, because you don't want her to start spinning.
Okay.
Right? You want to really stick with that thought. Okay?
Okay. All right. So then the reverse of I am ugly would be what?
Okay. So wait, hold on, Meg. Are you doing the work with her?
Yes.
Okay. So the first question is it true?
Right.
And you want to make sure she says yes or no.
Okay.
And then what's the second question isn't, what's the reverse of that? That's a turnaround. That comes at the end.
Oh.
Do you have the questions in front of you?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't have them with me.
You might, do you have your binder handy?
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
All right.
I didn't think I was going to do this. But that's okay. I mean, it's okay.
So let me share the four questions with you since you don't have your binder handy. And I think you're in the car, right?
I am in the car,
okay.
And I am making notes. So.
Okay. So the first question is it true? And then if she answers yes, do you remember what the second question is?
I guess I'm confused because then I was going to do the opposite. But that's the term.
The opposite
so that's
of that thought?
Yes.
Well, you could do that, but you don't. That's called a turnaround, and you don't do turnarounds until you ask the four questions.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
So is it true, yes or no? If she answers yes, then maybe you'll start to remember this. Are you absolutely certain that that thought is true?
Okay.
Okay. If she answers no, then you skip to how do you react? What happens when you believe the thought, I am ugly? You repeat the thought in there. And then
okay.
Who would you be without the thought, I am ugly? And then
okay.
After that, after she answers those questions, then you explore turnarounds.
Gotcha.
So that's when you ask her what would be the opposite of that thought. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. So go back in there.
Okay. All right.
Great.
All right. So let's just review so far. Your thought is, I am ugly. Is that true?
No.
Well, okay.
Good. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. So how do you react when you repeat the phrase or the thought, I am ugly?
How do I behave?
How do you react? Yeah. How does your body, like if you're in your body, let's stop for a second. Let's just take a deep breath. Just stop for a second and just put your feet on the ground and just take a deep breath. And if you're feeling this thought, I am ugly. And you said it's not true. Is that correct? Is it?
That is correct.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah,
so
that's correct.
It is not. It's not true. So now, as you're in your body and you're kind of just feeling this thought that's not true, how do you react when you repeat the thought, I'm ugly? How does your body react?
I get angry, and there's a lot of sadness underneath that too. Like just hearing you guys repeat that over and over again was really hard to hear. Just like it's just three words, but it's like I'm beating myself over the head. It's physically really uncomfortable.
But it's not true, correct?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm going to jump in 1 minute.
Okay.
So Meg, great. I mean, you're doing great. I wouldn't keep repeating, but it's not true.
Okay. I'm just trying to make her feel better.
I'm definitely hearing that because you it's like you want to convince her. She's feeling her feelings.
Right.
A lot of emotion is coming up. And so
mm-hmm.
you want to be able to create a safe space for her to feel those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, part of what is why we go into sometimes fight or flight mode with our irrational thinking is because we're trying to avoid away or get rid of those uncomfortable feelings that are generated from our thoughts.
Uh-huh.
And the more that you can allow her to feel those feelings, the more conducive it's going to be for her to kind of chip away at this belief. So don't want to, if, you know, there may be, this may be a blind spot for you, or you may have some discomfort in her discomfort. So what you're doing is you keep saying, well, it's not true, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get her to recognize that. But the point of the work is to help her to excavate what happens when she believes this thought that she's ugly, what feelings come up, how she behaves,
mm-hmm.
to show her that her thinking is in the her feelings and her reactions are the result of her thoughts. Even though she heard them along the way, she's adopted those. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So I would, instead of saying, but it's not true, I would say, is there more?
Hmm, okay. All right.
Okay.
So, yes. So is there, okay. So Laurel,
yeah.
So is there more? More feeling?
Sorry, you gotta start me off, like, get me started somewhere, sorry.
Okay, that's okay. No problem. So our statement again, just a refresher, was I am ugly, and then you told me that it's not true. But when I asked you how do you react when you repeat the phrase, you said that it's very emotional, you're angry, and then you're sad. So can you tell me more about those feelings?
Yeah, it just makes me, I just, this is such, like, in my brain, like, it's so black and white. Like, why can't I get past this thing? And I get, I just get really frustrated that I'm not through it yet. So I feel those feelings, and then it's like I get really pissed with myself that they're still there, or that I haven't processed it enough to where they're gone. And then I punish myself. I'm like, be strong enough. And it's like this cycle that continues. It's like there's this part of me that's like, I'm really hurt, and this is the way it feels. And another part goes, get over it. Like, you just should be better than this. You should be stronger than this. Like,
all right,
you're amazing. Yeah.
Tell me where I'm wrong, but I have two thoughts. The first one is, and Jackie, please feel free to jump in, because if I'm off track.
Before you do this, are you going to throw out a hunch?
Yes, this is a hunch.
Okay.
And
I'm going to ask that you stick to the structure of the work. Because
okay.
I have a hunch that your hunch is going to be around some of what she just said, the thoughts that she just revealed. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're right.
Okay. So I don't want you to get distracted by that. Just jot what she said down on a piece of paper. Because this is, you can expect that this is going to happen during the course of the work, that other thoughts are going to emerge, but I don't want
right.
you to get distracted and go down those what we call shiny object paths.
Right.
Because there's a cluster of thoughts here, right? There usually is. Usually a family
right.
of thoughts that our clients have. And if you start mm-hmm. to veer off, you're never going to be able to chip away at those beliefs if you keep kind of going off different paths, right? So
right.
She's noticing she's having this thought that she's ugly, and you're probably also hearing that she should be over it by now, that she shouldn't still feel hurt, that she shouldn't be, she should be stronger, right? These are all these other thoughts that are coming up. But don't work them right now.
My question was going to be, is this a thought, this I am ugly?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. There was some noise. What?
Is this a thought that she had prior to this relationship? Is that still going down the rabbit hole?
You mean with the ugly thought?
Yes.
And why would that be relevant?
Well, because if it's years and years of, you know, her having that belief, then just one person kind of, you know, stating it, and it could be fresh in her mind, where, you know, maybe it doesn't have anything to do with the person whatsoever. It's the core belief that she truly thinks that she's not pretty.
Right. So why would that be relevant, whether he triggers that or whether it was there beforehand?
So to me, it would be relevant so that she could separate the two, that she could work on the one thing and know that she's not ugly versus having it tied into a relationship. Am I going the wrong way?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're thinking that if she can separate out, well, is it him or was this thought there before, that somehow has some significance. And it really doesn't matter, because what matters right now is that she's being triggered, right?
Okay.
And
right.
The circumstances are not relevant, but the circumstance when she sees the picture, right, reminds her of when this thought maybe was born, or maybe how that thought, you know, has been intensified. Maybe she's always had it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she hasn't. But that's not really relevant. What's relevant now is that she's really harsh and critical with herself, and it feels bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When she sees a picture, she thinks she's ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings up a lot of sadness for her. And then she's recognizing, on top of that, she's berating herself for not being over it, for not being stronger, for not being more evolved or past this. So there's layers of pain here, right?
Right.
So so that's what I want to say, because, yes, you will. So the answer to your question is, yeah, you're going to go down a rabbit hole if you start to explore. Because it's not really relevant when this happened. If that makes sense.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm just going to encourage you to stick to the structure of the work. Right? So you might want to see if, you know, how does she, so she explained how she shared how she feels. There's a lot of other thoughts that came up. So you might want to explore how does she react when she believes that she's ugly.
Well, okay.
Like, what's her behavior like?
Oh, that's okay. Okay.
Use the situation as much as possible. We want to use the situation. So it may sound something like this, Meg, and this is a great teaching moment for all of you. So when you're working with the thought, I'm ugly, what I might say is, the Laurel, when you got the pictures back, your family pictures back, that's the situation, and you looked at yourself in these family pictures, and you believe that you're ugly, how do you treat yourself? How do you behave? Does that make sense, Meg?
Yes.
Okay, so why don't you try that on?
Okay, so Laurel, when you got these pictures back and you had the thought that you were ugly, then how do you react or how do you behave? What's your behavior when you see these photos?
Yeah, I noticed that I would look at these pictures, and in every picture, I would only look at myself first. Like,
like no one else even existed in the pictures because I was so busy looking at each one and going, okay, my body's okay there, but, you know, my skin really does look old. Or, God, my hair is frizzy in that one. Like, I hate that picture. You know, like, I only focused on myself and then caught myself and, like, looked at other people. And the pictures are fabulous. And everybody looks really happy taken as a group. So I focused in on my perceived flaw. Is what I did.
So who would you be without that thought of feeling ugly?
I would be the kind of person that looks, I would be the same way I am when I look at any other photo of any other person. I just look at them and I look at their eyes and I see if they're really happy or not. And there's like absolutely no thought about how beautiful they are. They're just like, there's a happy person. Like, look at their incredible family. Look how great they all look together. Like, that's who I would be without it.
So, Jackie, I need your help again.
Yeah. So, where do you want to go now?
Well, I'm thinking that we should do the turnaround now.
Okay. Before you do the turnaround, I have a suggestion. Would you like to hear it?
Okay. Sure. Absolutely.
So, when you said, who would you be without the thought, there's two things I listen for. I listen for... when a client answers that question, I listen for feelings, and I also listen for thoughts and actions. And she didn't share any of her feelings. She said, well, I would just look for, you know, whether they're happy or not. I would see people, you know, I'd look at people and see this incredible family, right?
Right.
What clients really, where you want them to spend some time is how it feels. Without the thought, not without the feeling, by the way, without the thought, I am ugly. And I think that would be helpful if Laurel could connect to that. So I may say something to Laurel, if you got these pictures back and you couldn't believe, if you're looking at them and looking at yourself and you couldn't believe that you were ugly, how would it feel without that thought? You see that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So why don't you pose that to her so she can maybe kind of connect to that feeling state of who she would be without the thought. How would that feel?
Okay.
Body?
Okay?
Okay, awesome.
So, okay, thank you. So, Laurel, so you get these pictures back, and how would it feel without the thought that I am ugly? How would it feel?
I think it would feel, it would just feel easy. It would feel, just like simple and easy. Those are the ones that come to mind.
Easy a feeling, like a, you know, or is it a state of, like a state of being, you know, like a feel, like a feeling, like a happy, sad, angry, mad, you know, those kinds of feelings. Do you have any of those?
Well, I keep getting something like struggle free, just kind of like going with the flow, you know, because it's like people do change, right? We get older, we age. Like, I would be able to, like, see that sort of change in my body and, like, not struggle with it, you know? Like, just there's a, like, a sense of ease and a freedom to seeing that reflected back to me that wouldn't bother me.
Right.
So it's not like happy. It's not sad. It's like, it's just like completely accepting or,
accepting is good. Is there any peace in it? You know, do you feel at all peaceful if you could accept it?
Yeah, but it's kind of like if it's easy, like it doesn't even have to create peace. It's just like, it doesn't even matter. Like, I don't even notice it. Like, it just goes by. And it's like, it's, I don't know if I'm explaining that well, but it's like, it doesn't, nothing, like red lights don't go off, you know? It's like the car just goes by and it's, I'm not, like just nothing puts me on alert. So I guess that's peaceful, but I just see it as something easier than that. It's like, it's carefree.
Okay, so tell me where I'm wrong. So if you got those pictures and you did, and you did not feel ugly, then you would feel carefree. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. Jackie, help.
Okay. So just one thing I'm just going to point out, because, again, this is great. I mean, I love that you're having this experience, because I think you're learning a ton here. So one thing is, remember that the work's a meditation. So I want to encourage you not to repeat back to her what she just said, and I'm going to tell you why. Because when you repeat back what your client just said, they're going to leave that state of meditation, right, that internal reflection that you're encouraging this to be in that place. And they're going to start checking what you're saying for accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're feeding back what she just said, and she's checking to make sure you've got it right, and she's leaving now that state of internal reflection.
Got it.
Right? So it's like, it's actually like if someone's meditating and you're starting to add, you know, your editorial comments, right? So there's,
right.
You don't have to do a lot here with the work, which is the beauty of the work. You just have to facilitate the questions. So who would you be without that thought? You don't even have to say, would it feel like peace? And, you know, if you wanted to go deeper, you could certainly say, how does that feel in your body to be accepting? Rather than asking, is there peace in it, which is a leading question, how does it feel in your body to be in that state of carefree and ease acceptance? Because it's nice when clients can have the experience of who they are with the thought, both on a sensation and an emotional level as well as a behavioral level, and the same applies to who they would be without the thought. So you can carry that through a little bit more. So how would that feel in your body? What might you be inspired to do without the thought next time you see that picture of yourself and your family? Okay, so having said that, you can move on to the turnarounds. Remember, this is a turnaround that's already directed at herself. Okay, a little hint.
Right.
Okay, so go ahead and facilitate that part.
So, Laura, so the turnaround for I am ugly would be what?
I am not ugly.
And is there another one, Jackie? Because there's typically three.
Well,
no, the self is the one.
What you
want
to do is have her, don't run to the next turnaround. Have her give you some examples. Perhaps
okay.
She is truer than she is ugly.
Okay.
Okay.
So, all right.
So Laurel, so in that turnaround, I am not ugly. Is it true?
No, 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 no. So now you're going back to the work.
Oh, okay. So
okay.
I'm confused.
So when you use I am, when she said I am not ugly, all you have to say is, could you give me an example of why I am not ugly is as true or truer than I am ugly? You're not questioning the validity of it. You're having her give you examples to build that neural pathway.
Check.
Okay.
All right. Okay, Laurel, thank you for your patience.
okay.
So when you have when you have the thought, I am not ugly, can you give me an example of how you feel with that?
No. Can you give me an example, not how she feels? Can you give me an example of
is
that
true
or truer?
Okay, is that true or truer of your first statement, I am ugly?
Let me help you, Meg. So let me just help you, because I think you're fumbling with the words here. So, Laurel, I am not ugly. Can you give me an example of how that thought is as true or truer than I am ugly?
Okay. Like, I look at those pictures and, you know, I can see that, yeah, I'm a nice tall woman with a nice shape. I'm not ugly.
Okay. All right. So you have a nice shape. All right. So, Meg.
Yes.
Can you ask her for another example of how this thought is as true or truer that she is not ugly?
Laurel, could you give me another example of how this thought is as true or truer than I am ugly?
Yeah, like in that same scenario, like I can look at a picture of myself and, you know, like where if I'm with my nephew or something and like you can tell that I'm really laughing at my nephew. Like there's a tenderness between the two of us that comes through the picture. And like, I can see that. And that's not ugly.
Is there another example of something that you could tell me that is as true or truer than I am ugly?
Yeah, like still going with that same example, you know, like I looked at the pictures and like I wore these really fun bright green big chunky beads that day. And so like for the picture, and so I could look at that and go, wow, that really represents a part of me that I like and I'm really proud of. And I'm glad I chose to spotlight that in the pictures. Like, that's not ugly. That's great.
Okay. Jackie, I don't even know what to do.
Okay. So I think this would probably be a good place to stop, but I'm going to encourage you to have some, maybe create some kind of closure around this, and we call this the dismount, right?
Right.
A really great opportunity for you to, you know, initiate the dismount, which means how can she really start to live from these turnarounds? So there's lots of different ways that you can create some closure here and to bring these turnaround alive, alive for her, right? Mm-hmm. And there may be other turnarounds here too, but just for the sake of our class, I'd love for you to have the experience of practicing a dismount. So do you remember in class when this was taught, or do you have any experience with the dismount, or do you need some help in that area?
I need some help.
Okay. So one of the things, and this would be a great place to just say to Laurel, so how can you bring this turnaround alive into your life. So I'm going to invite you, because you're her coach, every day to write down one reason why you're not ugly. One thing that is beautiful about yourself is another way to phrase that.
Okay.
Okay. So why don't you try that out with her?
Okay. So, Laurel, so Jackie, can I recap what you told me, the good things? Or no?
I don't think that's necessary. I'd love for you to just, you know, suggest to her,
okay,
invite her to do maybe some homework around this to kind of reinforce this neural pathway in the brain.
Okay.
Okay? But use your own words,
right,
for sure.
So, Laurel, so what I would like to do is I would like to invite you to write down one reason every day that is beautiful about Laurel. Is that something that you would be interested in doing?
Yeah, I think I could do that.
So, and then, you know, if you could email them to me or something like that, just because that way, then I don't know. I mean, I'm just trying to, you know,
no,
I'm just trying to put
that's
them
a great
here,
idea. I had not thought of that. That's a great idea.
But it keeps us all accountable. But I think that would be very helpful because I think that you're probably a very beautiful person, and if you just start recognizing this one thing every day, one reason that you feel beautiful, that might be helpful. And then we can revisit again later.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
Okay, awesome job. Okay, I love that. That was your essential self coming out. That really worked.
Yeah, I think
right?
That was.
Right? That was very spontaneous,
yep,
unplanned, right, Meg?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that was great. Awesome. Okay, so how was that for you, Meg?
It was a little bumpy, but it's okay. You know.
Whoa, I'm hearing some noise in the background.
Yeah.
So what do you think you did well? What do you think you did well? What did you like about your coaching? It worked.
I like that I asked for help instead of just kind of going on my own path.
Uh-huh.
Because I want to stick to the script better. It was something that I haven't worked on with anybody before. I tend to be more of a business type coach where it's less personal.
Mm.
So when I have the emotion, it kind of pulled up my heartstrings a little bit, and I just have to keep that in mind that I have to stay focused on the task at hand and not the emotion, or not my emotion, but rather the client's feeling,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, stick to that and to contain the story as well.
So were you aware of what was going on for you when Laurel started to feel that emotion?
Yes. I want to be a fixer, so I wanted to give her, instead of sticking to the work, which that's where you saw my challenges, I wanted to give her things that she could do so that she would feel better and, you know, to convince her that she really wasn't ugly when that's not my job. You know,
yeah.
But that was what you were seeing in me is the battle of myself wanting to, you know, be more of a therapist type instead of a coach. And so that's my biggest challenge.
Yeah, so for you, you got in your blind spot a little bit, right? Because you had some thoughts emerge, and it started to inform you and impact how you coached her, right?
Right.
Which was when she started to express these negative emotions, the sadness and this hurt, your thought was what?
My thought was that maybe it was deeper than just this one bad boyfriend. You know, maybe it was something that she had carried.
Your thought was, I need to make her feel better.
Yes.
Right. And so when you think, and that's really, really common, Meg. I mean, a lot of us feel uncomfortable with our own feelings, and that gets projected onto other people. So when they share their feelings, it's kind of like a mirror, right? So she's mirroring for you your discomfort with your own feelings. And that part of that is coming from, well, I think because we've never really been taught how to kind of manage, you know, our emotions and you know, the gardens of our mind. But I think also part of that's coming from, you know, the discomfort that comes from feeling those negative feelings, right?
Yeah, so, and I could completely relate to her. I mean, every picture I've ever been in, I have just critiqued down to the wire. One hair was sticking up or you know, whatever.
So there you go. That's your blind spot. So you've got two things going on, right, which is I need to make her feel good. You know, I need to make her feel better.
Right,
which was, you know, compelling you to ask kind of leading questions in some cases.
Right.
And to kind of be more, maybe had a tendency to want to be a little bit more conceptual and start asking questions about where all this came from.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I remember the work is, and this is so, and I'm speaking to all of you, it's not conceptual or hypothetical, also known mm-hmm. as very mental. So you don't want to get entangled or caught up in where did this start and how did this start. Again, you're, like you said, you're not the therapist. That's what a therapist might do. What's relevant is what's happening for her right now and whether it's her boyfriend who said that or her parents who said that or a teacher who said that, it's not important. What's important is that she integrated that. She's adopted that belief, and she's picked up that baton, right? So if her boyfriend was, you know, had that whip in his hand or was putting her hand to the fire and telling her she was ugly or her parents or a nun at school, it doesn't matter. What matters now is she's hurting herself with these thoughts that she's, you know, taking responsibility for. Does that make sense? So for you, kind of you have a tendency to be more cerebral, and I'm going to encourage you, you know, to do some of your work around, I need to make people feel better.
Right.
Maybe whatever's coming up for you around, you know, people, you know, experiencing that negative emotion, because you really want to kind of create that space. But I'm super proud of you for, you know, having the tenacity, because you were very tenacious, to really hang in there through all of this, because, you know, you didn't have the work in front of you and you didn't know the questions and, you know, and you were very open to my feedback. But was there anything else that you felt like you did well or that you would even do differently if you could hit the rewind button?
No, I think it was very good. It was a great learning experience. I'm glad that I did it.
Okay. So what are a couple takeaways that you had in doing the work?
I need to do more on it. And I thought that I had done it, and I haven't, I don't have it down like I thought I did.
Yeah.
When
just practice.
So practice, yeah. I just have to practice more.
Yeah.
More practice.
Yeah. And feel, I mean, you can have the questions in front of you. I had them on a sticky on my computer screen for the first year. Because sometimes you think, oh, these questions they're easy. I'll remember them. Really easy to lose track of it. And it's not cheap, by the way, if you have the questions in front of you. And why make it harder on yourself to try and remember something?
Right? That's true.
So,
takes the pressure off.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, coaching can be challenging enough at this stage of the game. Why make it harder on yourself if you don't have to?
That's true.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay, so more practice. Yes, for sure.
More practice.
Okay, so Laurel, feedback for Meg?
Well, Meg, just thanks for hanging in there.
your sweetheart.
It's a tender, painful thought, and I know when I've been in your seat and a lot of emotion comes out that it can feel really overwhelming. So just way to hang in there and keep working.
Thank you.
Is there anything specific you want to offer to from a client perspective? Because I can't give that.
Yeah. Well, I just, it's so interesting today just listening to Meg work and then you work, Jackie. Like, it was the first time I really understood how when facilitating those four questions, what you're really doing in just asking the question is beginning to separate them from their thought. Mm-hmm. And that hadn't occurred to me before. Just the way, the care with which you were approaching the questions and how you asked them somehow made me begin to see or begin to separate myself from that thought that I was so frustrated that I had, and I couldn't imagine breaking that cycle. Just in how you asked the questions, I already was beginning to get further back. And I don't know if it's about helping me enter a meditative state or just how those questions are worded. They're incredibly powerful at unlocking things that you didn't realize you had locked together.
Yeah. So was it the way I was phrasing them or Meg was phrasing them?
The way you were phrasing them.
Okay. So yeah, that just comes with a lot of practice, Meg, and everybody listening. Because I've been doing this 8 or 9 years, right? So right now it probably feels kind of awkward and clumsy, especially if you don't know the questions and you haven't memorized them. And it seems, you know, from the outset, it seems, oh, well, four questions, these are easy. But it's amazing what happens when you put them into practice, how your, you know, sometimes your own thoughts get in the way, right? And, mm-hmm. you know, or this idea that you have to kind of get it right, and sometimes it kind of comes out clunky. And that's okay. That's how we learn, right, when you kind of work through that clunkiness. So, you know, the way that you make it more comfortable is just a lot of that practice. But also remembering, I think, and having that mindset, like you said, Laurel, to recall that the purpose of the work, which is that it's meditation, it's a way you want to slow your client down. And you did that in the beginning, Meg, right? You said you noticed, I think, your nervousness, and you said, let's just take a minute, right, to kind of ground our feet into the floor. And I love that you did that, and I think that you're doing that for you as well as for Laurel, and that was great. So
I love that too, yeah.
Yeah. So it's really remembering that you're facilitating a process without it being too mental, trying to get beyond the ego, and mm-hmm. giving your client plenty of time to find their own answers, and really to stay in the actual situation where the belief came up, where that belief gets triggered. In this case, not so much the origin, but the picture that Laura was looking at that triggered that thought. Because when you bring in the situation, then notice how easy it was for Laurel to access her feelings as well as the cluster of other thoughts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, which is I should be stronger, I should be rid of it, which is, you know, again, creating, we've got now two layers of pain.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does Laurel feel like she's or think she's ugly, but now she has all this ugly thoughts on top of that, right? These really self-critical thoughts. If that makes sense.
Jackie, is there any of our other tools that you would have used instead of the work, or was that? Do you think, in your opinion, is that the best one for this particular thought?
I don't think there's a best tool for anything. I mean, you could have used the metaphor tool on this. That would have been a great tool to use. You know, any images come to mind when you believe that you're ugly, and you could work with a metaphor. Right.
You could have, you know, you could have taken a step back and, you know, if you, this was a regular coaching session, I would have suggested to you, Meg, that maybe you explore a little before just jumping onto the thought, I'm ugly. There may have been those other thoughts that emerge, like, oh, and I'm so sick of, you know, feeling this way, and I wish I need to get rid of these thoughts. And you could have done, you know, some thought work on, I need to get rid of my ugly thoughts.
Right.
Right?
Okay. Uh-huh.
That would have been, you know, a totally same tool, but a little different of approach.
Right.
Right. You could have just, you know, gone into her body.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that way. You could have used ACT tools.
Right.
So, yeah, there's lots of different tools. So there's, I don't think there's a best or a right tool.
Okay.
In this particular case. So overall, I just want to give you some feedback. I think you did, you know, again, I so appreciate your patience and your tenacity for really hanging in there. You're in the car. You don't have the questions in front of you. So, and I appreciated you asking for help. I mean, I really think that is so critical in becoming a good coach, is asking for the help when you really don't know where to go or how to phrase things. Or so I appreciated that you did that, and you're so open to my feedback. And you know, you're very responsive to my feedback. So every time I jumped in there with something, you went in there and you applied it, which is great. The overarching feedback I would have for you is kind of what you already shared with me, which is just go out there and practice as much as possible. If you can, go to Inquiry Power Hour, because the more that you practice, the more natural and comfortable you're going to feel with it, right?
Right.
The more you won't even have to think about it. You'll just say, is it true that you're ugly, rather than, is it true that when you repeat the thought, I am ugly, is that true? So it'll come out a lot more succinct and kind of natural for you and organic for you. So I would just say do a ton of practicing. Because I think that's going to make all the difference in the world. And just, you know, pay attention to kind of how you're phrasing things. So instead of saying, is it true that you feel you're ugly, that phrase is a thought. So you want to make sure that you say to your client, is it true, when you believe the thought that you're ugly, is it true? How do you react when you believe you're ugly? And you don't have to say, and I hear a lot of coaches do this, you don't have to say when you think the phrase, I am ugly. Rather, it just sounds much more natural. Is it true you're ugly? And you can say it, you know, instead of repeating I am, just say, is it true that you're ugly? Who would you be tomorrow morning if you woke up, you dug those pictures out, you looked at yourself, and you couldn't believe you were ugly?
That's good.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
See, it sounds a lot more natural.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
A lot.
Yeah.
Right.
But that, again, that comes with a lot of practice. In regards to the turnarounds, anybody have any ideas of how you, some other turnarounds? Well, I am ugly.
Hi, it's Kristen.
Yes, Kristen.
My thoughts are ugly.
My thoughts are ugly,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what about an extreme opposite?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody come up with an extreme opposite?
I'm gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. All right. Observers, any thoughts, comments, questions?
Again, Kristen?
Yes, Kristen.
Hello. I heard some noticing the thought, Laurel, that I might have taken off down that path a little bit. I heard a metaphor right there with a car going by with the thoughts, which is a metaphor that I typically use for a thought. and a way to separate, as a way to separate yourself from that thought, to notice the thought as it's going by, and to be open to the possibility that you could, that you, I mean, what would happen if you didn't get in the car that was carrying that thought?
So it's kind of a variation on an ACT tool, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, beautiful.
And
thank you.
And what happens when you get in the car with that thought?
Love it. Yeah, so there's lots of different ways that you could approach this thought that Laurel was having, right?
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I would have asked more questions about the car metaphor, you know, the color, the size, what kind of car, where is it going?
Great, yeah. So sometimes metaphors, you know, images will come up in the course of when you're exploring these thoughts with your client. And you can just go with that.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
I thought it was great, especially because, Laurel, it sounded like you'd already done a lot of work on that for yourself. So
yeah,
teed off and presented itself to me as, okay, well, let's just pick up where she, you know, is. Right?
Yeah. The metaphor tool is a great tool to use when people have done, like you just said, Kirsten, a lot of work on a particular belief. Having said that, I think that the work was a really good tool to use because I have a hunch that she was not allowing herself to really feel the feelings that were a result of that particular thought, and instead was, you know, layering it with, I should be over this by now, and kind of berating herself and a little self-flagellation for even having the thought, which is a way for us to not feel our feelings, right? It's that fight or flight. I'll just distract myself with these other thoughts and berate myself for even having them in the first place. But I agree, Kirsten, I think that sometimes when you've worked a thought and you're aware of a thought and you've been coached around it or you've self-coached, the metaphor tool feels a little, it's a good way to get beyond the ego and to explore issues in a deeper way because you're not dealing with that particular thought kind of in it head on.
Right, and I thought maybe I felt like, well, I feel like in that situation or in this one, anyway, that it maybe was a vehicle, no pun intended, to a thought you could do the work on at that point, you know, to take you to that place. But but to kind of lead in with a little bit of maybe respect is not the right word, but a little bit of appreciation for what she had already you know, the layer she had already explored, maybe try a different avenue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And no pun intended.
Sure. Yeah.
And good metaphors. Avenues.
That's what you guys do the coaching, right? Because, you know, Meg wanted to do the work, and Kirsten, if you were in there, you might have worked with the metaphor tool, and there's no right or wrong way to approach this. But that's your individuality starting and your uniqueness starting to emerge. Because that's your essential self saying, I felt really drawn to wanting to use that car metaphor, right?
Yeah, it just kind of popped out, especially when she literally used the words, I'm noticing
exactly.
that I have this thought and I don't know why I have it.
Right.
I also was thinking I would have asked, you know, how does it feel in your body to have that thought? And if that thought has any, what is the feeling in your body saying?
Right. So you can actually talk to the emotion.
Right.
Right. You can actually even have the emotion sitting across from you and talk to that emotion.
Mm-hmm.
What is that emotion trying to say? And I think that's really a good point that you make because of the fact that Laurel, you know, is probably not feeling her feelings around this particular thought because it's so painful. And she started to, during the course of the work that Meg was facilitating, but it's great to go through the body with someone who is maybe resisting or suppressing some of that emotion. Not intentionally, by the way. That's just because it's very human. You know, when we have irrational thoughts, we go into that fight or flight mode. You know, we needed that to survive because we could have been eaten a long time ago. But most of those fears are very unfounded. They're illogical. And so the best way, I think, for our clients to really work through their thinking is to create space, a safe space, for them to explore their feelings. Without thinking as their coach that you have to do anything with it, because sometimes it's just a gift unto itself, and without inserting commentary or editorializing or, you know, having an agenda, right?
Yeah, I think one of the tenet that comes to my mind a lot is about being a window.
Mm-hmm.
I always try to start, you know, by grounding myself and thinking about being a window, or remembering that that's the purpose.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great way to hold space for people to remember that you are there as a window for them to reflect back what they're seeing, what they're experiencing. Yeah. All right. Wow, that went on way longer than I anticipated. But I love having this opportunity for you guys to really fully explore coaching in, you know, that's longer than 15 or 20 minutes that you get in the first Coach the Coach classes. So, you know, we don't usually get that kind of time, especially go through, you know, what you did, Meg, all the way through the turnarounds and even the dismount. So one of the things that I want to just remind you of, and I really invite you guys to practice, you know, whatever tools that you've learned that you feel like you said, Meg, that, you know your strengths, but it's those areas where you feel a little tight, that you feel like you want more practice in, which metaphor tool or, you know, or the work or ACT tools or even the five whys, and to really practice the dismount, because I think in the first few practicums, you don't get that opportunity so much. And so this was I loved what you said, Meg, at the end about would you email me, because it does kind of hold her accountable, you know, Laurel accountable. And it's a good way, if you were going to connect with your client, to continue that kind of deep work. So there's a lot of different examples of dismount. So let's say, for example, Meg, if you had had more time with Laurel and you had explored other turnarounds, like my thoughts are ugly or I am beautiful, for example, that would have been three turnarounds. You could have said, of these three turnarounds that we explored, which one really resonates for you the most?
Oh, that's good.
And then she chooses that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could follow up by saying, how might you live the next week from that turnaround that you are, let's say she says that I'm beautiful. How can you live this next week from the turnaround that you're beautiful? Or use that same homework and be more direct. I'm going to invite you every day to write down one example of why you're beautiful. Find one thing about your body that is beautiful. It could be your fingernail. It could be the color of your hair. Right? Anything, no matter how small.
That's good.
Yeah. If you experience this turnaround that you're not ugly, how would you be living your life? How would it be different? How would your life be better? So those are examples of really what we call living the turnaround or the dismount, because you want to be able to help the client reinforce that neural pathway that gets, you know, wrapped in sheets of Mylon. So this is what's been happening for a while, right? It's being reinforced, you know, in a relationship, and now she's reinforcing it with this thought that she has independently of the relationship, that she is ugly, and the only way to start chipping away at it is to encourage her to build that new neural pathway in the brain, and you do that with evidence and proof. And you practice and repeat and practice and repeat. Does that make sense, you guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love, that was the, my most favorite part of the session, Meg, is when you said, you emailed that to me because it felt like your sense of self, it felt like that spontaneous part of you, like, where did that come from? To that, right?
Right.
So great job. So I don't feel like we obviously have time for, it was not my intention, but I love to get deep into this stuff. So anybody else besides Kirsten who have any feedback from Meg or have any thoughts about the coaching session or have any questions for me about what you witnessed here today?
This is Linda.
Linda, yeah.
Hi. I just thought I would offer the point about, you know, sort of self-berating, you know, like having some, you know, feelings and then kind of, you know, piling on top of oneself, you know, feeling bad for feeling that way and kind of that berating that we do. It reminded me of Martha sent, had a thing about that in her newsletter last month with, that they, she's calling it slapping the baby. And
right,
basically,
right.
You know, it's like noticing that the way she was noticing that she was talking to herself is not a way she would talk to anybody else in her life. And so when Laurel was noticing that, when, you know, if she didn't have the ability to think the thought, that when she would look at photos, including her and other people, like the way she would see the other people was just as themselves and fine and, you know, no judgment. And, you know, I guess just drawing a connection between those two and just, you know, looking at, well, you know, look at how cruel I'm being to myself and would I treat anybody else that way? And, anyway, I was, Martha sent, has a newsletter that
right.
went out a couple weeks ago that talks about that in a very funny way, and I just thought I would, mention that, cause maybe that sort of becomes a tool. Oh, look at me, I'm slapping the baby, you know.
Right.
Anyway.
So how would you incorporate that, or would you? I know, so, this is the
I guess it would, it would depend if there was context, if
yeah.
the person I'm coaching had encountered that concept, and then there'd be sort of a shorthand. So I guess it's another type of metaphor. But I think, you know, maybe since Laurel did go there, I mean, that's what made me think of it when she said, oh, you know, look how I would see these people. Then, you know, like, oh, well, you know, just sort of, I think it's just another way to kind of find separation between the thoughts that you're thinking. So a way to sort of introduce that observer perspective. So she said something about, oh, here's how I would view these other people in the photo, and then maybe suggesting, well, how do you think they're seeing you this way that you're seeing yourself, or do you think they're seeing you the way you're seeing them? And, but I don't know.
Well, and I get that. And I want, you're resonating with this concept, right, that was really playing out here today, right, the slapping the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I suggested that you know, you could have gone two different ways here, right? If maybe there's a little more exploration up front, you probably would have, you know, unpacked some of those, that second layer of pain, all those other thoughts, that beratement and self-criticism and you know, that I should know better and I should be rid of this by now and I should be stronger thoughts. And you could have definitely, you know, explored, done the work on that, for example. But you do want to remember, like you, I think you were hinting at, Linda, is that you don't want to be too conceptual, right? So there are places when you're doing the work, when you get a little bit more comfortable with it and a little more competent with the work and have a little stronger foundation, and you'll see in the Byron Katie videos, where she starts to make extrapolations, right? So when you're hearing this information and Laurel saying, well, I should be stronger and I should be this, and I'm looking at pictures of myself and I'm seeing that my hair's out of place or, you know, I'm aging, you could, from a coaching perspective, make a comment like, so it sounds like you're really harsh with yourself. You're really mm-hmm. critical with yourself. Or it sounds like there's this second layer of pain. I'm hearing a lot of thoughts about how you should be rid of this. So you can start to bring some awareness, right, to kind of what's going on both those levels by making those connections for that, for the client. So you get just as critical as your boyfriend used to.
Mm.
And so she can see, wow, I'm blaming him for telling me I'm ugly, and look how I'm doing exactly what he's doing. Right, which is kind of a very similar concept to what you're sharing, Linda, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, but that's what happens, I think, also when we have people that we spend time with, whether it's our parents or, you know, our teachers or other influential people in our life, relationships, where someone was really, really, really critical. And then we take over for that person, even when we're not in a relationship anymore. Right? It's that kind of perfectionism. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that, Linda, for sure. But I do like to point out, you know, those kinds of things. So you're really hard on, it sounds like you're really hard on yourself. Just kind of point that out very gently. Yeah. All right, anybody else? No? I have four, oh no, it's 11:22. We have, oh no, weird. Okay, that was my computer. It's 11:26, so we have a few more minutes. Anybody else have any comments or questions? Observers?
Meg, way to hang in there, Kristen.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I also like the accountability, piece of daily reminders.
Yeah. So many teachable moments. So thank you. Thank you,
Meg,
for providing that for all of us. I mean, this is real. All the stuff that you did, all the stuff I did too when I was coaching. It was when I first started coaching. And, you know, you are going to learn so much from this coaching session, Meg. It's going to be very different the next time you coach, which is what the cool part is about coaching on these calls, is because that's how you get to be a good coach, is by, you know, being willing to suck at it. Not that you sucked at it at all, but, you know, your willingness and your openness to, you know, go down this path and run into cul-de-sacs and kind of course correct is how you get to be a really good coach. It's all about course correction. Because no one wakes up knowing how to coach one day. It's all about your agility, which you demonstrated here today, Meg, and your openness to learning and, you know, and letting this these experiences inform you. So I'm so glad you were able to do that here today.
Me too. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you are so welcome. All right. Anybody else? Comments, questions about the tools, about the end of your training?
I had kind of an aha that happened this last week that I could share.
Is this Rachel?
Good.
Okay.
This is Rachel.
Please share.
Okay. And it's maybe super obvious, but for me it was kind of like, oh my gosh, I never. Anyway, my big takeaway from this last week was that it's important to give the client, not necessarily this call, but just in general, something to push off of, like in a dance, like how you've mentioned, you know, dancing before, and how body compass, hunches, all give the client something to push off of. So it could be that you're wrong, and I mean, it doesn't resonate, but it's, again, it's something that they can say no or push off of, and that gives, it's just this give and take. And so one of my things that I try not to do is reading statements. And the problem with that, it doesn't give the client anything to push off of. I mean, there's probably other things wrong with it. Or giving advice doesn't do that. It doesn't give them anything to push off of. So anyway, that was my big aha that I'm that gave me kind of helped me kind of put it into a bigger picture of the purpose in the, tell me where I'm wrong though, I could be wrong about that, but in the client coaching experience is giving them something where they're refining down to what is really at the bottom of what's going on for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I love how you kind of frame that just now. So it sounds like you kind of have a new perspective on that, on
yes.
why it's important to give your clients something to push off of or push against, you know, like when you throw out a hat, you know, a hypothesis, antithesis, mm-hmm. theory, which is what you did a couple weeks ago, which was so beautiful, even if you are wrong, because, you know, and I always have the intention of, or I never have the intention of being right. I just want
right.
to get more information versus mm-hmm. asking leading questions, which doesn't give the client really room or that space to explore other possibilities, if you will. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because it feels like when someone says, well, is that true or is this true or do you feel like more like this or more like that versus my hunches tell me where I'm wrong, that feels very kind of in the first scenario, it feels very, like, closed, like they have to choose between the options mm-hmm. you presented rather than it being more open-ended.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I wish I could articulate that better, but I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And you were such a master at hypothesis, antithesis, theory. Right, because it's really, and it's that is such a artistic tool. You need a lot of practice with that one too, because our tendency is to want to kind of repeat everything our clients say, or paraphrase it, or summarize it, or not get it wrong. And so, mm-hmm. when you don't care about getting it wrong, it's amazing how your hat becomes so much better because you're not, that's not a concern anymore.
Right. Yeah, it's just an opportunity to get more information. Yeah.
Yeah. So did you have a bad experience with a client, or was it in the context of a class?
I think it was just like I was listening to our class and then other classes, and I might have just been a combination of my experience and getting feedback and everything, and it all just kind of like gelled, like, oh,
right.
that's why we do that, because
right.
the client needs to have space to push off and give more information, and if I'm trying to help too much or whatever, it doesn't help them. That's not
right.
giving them, so.
Yeah, so you have this light bulb aha moment. And
yes.
But, so. Rachel, this is Kristen. It's also leadership, so thank you for bringing that up. To give them something to push off of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, Jackie?
Oh, yeah.
You're
totally.
Great.
Very much so. It's really being able to, it's stepping into those leadership shoes and having that leadership energy, right? Because when you ask leading questions, that's not leadership energy. That's you trying to be right most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Versus I'm just really curious and I've got this, some, this intuition that's kind of nagging at me. I have this hunch about something. Which is not always said. It's inferred or it's, again, it's this intuitive hunch. I remember when I was in training, we were practicing. My training was so different from you guys. We were physically in a room with Martha. I was with 12 other coaches-to-be. And immediately this is when she taught you everything she knew in 4 days, including doing energy work and the arm thingy and, you know, the work and the living space tool and the metaphor tool. And the first thing that one of the first things we practiced is hat. And I remember I wasn't coaching, and we would sit around in a circle, and, you know, she'd ask people to coach other people. And there was a woman sharing a lot about her relationship with her husband, and she wasn't really happy, and things weren't going well. And the coach who was practicing, her hat was this. And this client didn't say anything about wanting to leave her husband at all. She was just expressing her dissatisfaction, and the coach said, I have a hunch you want to really leave your husband, but you're scared to do so. She had said nothing about leaving her husband, and she said, tell me where I'm wrong. And the client was just like blown away. She hadn't said any of that, but that's what was going on that was underlying, that she really did want to leave, and she was just too afraid to do so. That was 8 years ago, and I ran into her, this woman who had the issues with her husband. She left her husband a year ago. It was 7 years later.
Wow.
So, you know, a cat can be very, very bold and can be a big leap like that. I probably wouldn't have put out a hat like that, but that, you know, that's what that really means, is to really trust that part of you. And she could have come back and said, no, I don't want to leave him at all. What I really want is this. And then that would have been great information, too. I really want to stay married. Okay, well, then let's work on how to better your relationship with your husband so you can stay married. So, yeah, thanks for saying that, Kirsten. All right. Well, it's a few minutes after the hour. Thank you, everybody, for your great questions. And, Meg, you were awesome today. And thank you, Laurel, for being so TAO with all of us here today.
Thank you, guys.
And
thank you.
I loved you guys, having you as a group, and I hope our paths cross again in the future.
Me too.
Definitely.
All right. Take care, you guys.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Jackie. Bye.
Bye.